The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha Shmini. In Parsha Shmini, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe ve'al Aaron lemor aleihem. And Hashem spoke to Moshe and Aaron saying, Dabru el b'nei Yisrael lemor. Speak to the b'nei Yisrael saying, Zeis ha'chayo asher teichlu mikol ha'behema asher al oretz. This is the chayo, the animal which you shall eat from all of the animals which are al oretz. And then the Torah starts to explain to us which animals can we eat, and it goes through a whole series of shiurim, instructions on which animal one can eat and which animal one is not allowed to eat. But not only from the animals, first it states, first we speak of the domesticated animals, what kind of signs they must have. They must have a split hoof and be malagero. Malagero is where Rashi explains that they chew their food and then swallow it. It goes into their stomach. And then they regurgitate their food, bring it back up, and re-chew it again until it's very, very fine. And then swallow it again. And the Torah lists four animals that these are two simonim, two signs that one must have as far as a kosher animal. And the Torah lists four animals that have just one of those signs, and therefore they are not kosher. And then the Torah goes into in another place in the Torah it lists also the chayos, the wild animals that we can eat. There are seven wild animals and three of the domesticated animals, but they all must have these signs. And then the Torah goes into the fish, and the fish also must have two signs, snapi v'kaskesis, the fins and the scales. And then the Torah goes into the birds. The Gemara tells us, Achov Dalad, meaning Shal Ephes Tomeyash, Borim Sech Techulin, there are 24 different species of impure birds. And there the Gemara tells us that a pure bird, a kosher bird, must have, well, he can have four signs of kashrus, then for sure he's kosher, but he can even have less. And then the Gemara goes further into the insects and so on. So this is a great area in Torah law, which is known as Macholos Asures, foods which are one is not allowed to eat. Now there are some, there's a segment of this, which by nature man rejects it. Or most people, most nations, not all nations, but most nations, by nature, it is contrary to the person's nature. They are mo'us, they are despicable to people, where in most cases they will not want to eat these things. And for example, these are what are known as the shrotzim, or the Rachoshim, these are the creeping reptiles or insect world and so forth. And actually these are very distant from the person. There's a Gemara in Sechte Menoches, in which it states that there were a number of things then Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty understanding, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself had to show Moshe Rabbeinu. And two of those things which are mentioned is, one is the menorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to show him a menorah shel esh, the candlestick which was used in the Mishkan in the sanctuary. And the other was the shrotzim. Shrotzim means those that are sheretz ala oretz, very small creatures which crawl very low to the land. Actually, they live in the earth, or they live right under earth. The question is, why should Moshe Rabbeinu have difficulty in understanding these two? The Maral explains in a number of places. One place right here in the Gorai is because Moshe, who was seeing the Torah through the eyes of the Novi, through the prophet, he was the greatest prophet, and the prophet sees through the his vision starts with the vision of a human being. The human being is at the center of the world, and there are those things which are very distant from the human being, either because they are so much lamalo, so higher than the person, or so much lower than the person. In the menorah, we have sources where there Moshe had difficulty understanding the menorah because of its mandrega, of its high level. It was too high even to capture it through the eyes of the Novi, of the prophet. And at the same time, he was having difficulty trying to understand the concept of the shrotzim, because that also was very, very distant from the person. Actually, we find the Chazal tell us that man is at the center of the universe. There are a number of things, spiritual things, which are greater than him. But when it comes to the physical world, it's basically are all lower than him, but some are closer than others. For example, we find that the domesticated animal, that's an animal that you can domesticate, that's closer to man than the wild animals. We see they were given to man to be used as servants. They are his assistants. Then you have the wild animals, which are more distant from him. And then you have the Eifes HaShemayim and the Gehayom, the fish of the sea and the birds of the heaven, until you come to the Shrotzim, which are the most distant from him. These creeping creatures. And that's why Moshe was having this difficulty. However, in this vast area of Macholas Asuris, fruits which we are forbidden to eat, there are a great number of these foods which are not at all contrary to the normal nature of man. And the Torah ushered them, forbade them. In some, the Torah gives a partial reason. They were maybe forbidden because of specific memories, remembrances, and so forth. In others, the Torah does not give us any reason. And they're not all forbidden because of the same reason. For example, we have where the Torah says that on a kosher animal, even though it's kosher and it was shechted properly, it's a behemah tahora, a pure animal which we're allowed to eat, nevertheless we cannot eat the chelev or the dam, the fat or the blood. Now that's not because it's necessarily despicable to man. The fact is, the fat is considered the best part of the animal. When we say fat, it's for certain types of fats we are not allowed to eat. Now there the Torah tells us is because the fat went on the Mizbeach, that of a sacrifice, that part of those parts of the fats were offered on the Mizbeach, and on the dam, on the blood, the Torah tells us, because that also was offered on the Mizbeach, and also because ki hadam hu hanefesh, the blood is the essence of the physical human being, of his, it's what gives him life. And this is the reason why it went on the altar, on the Mizbeach of an animal. Therefore the Torah forbade it. Now here the Torah is forbidden something us to eat, not because it's necessarily contrary to the nature of man or it's despicable to him, but the Torah had its reasons, because this was set aside on a sacrifice for the altar. Another example is the gira nosha, sciatic nerve, a certain nerve in the loin and the leg of the person. This you remove from an animal before we eat. This is the hindquarters. Incidentally, it's very, very difficult to remove. And this is why the Ashkenazim generally do not eat hindquarters, because there was this gid hanosha plus some other types of fat which made it too difficult. But the hindquarters certainly are kosher. They're actually the best part of the animal. And the Sfardim were very, very good at removing this, and they commonly ate them. But the gid hanosha itself were not allowed to eat. That, the Torah says, because of what happened to Yaakov Avinu. When Yaakov met up with the Sar Shel Esav, the angel of Esav, so they had a whole war, and the Esav and the angel wounded him in this nerve, and he was Solea al Yerechai, and he was limping for it. We have another example of what we're speaking about, of Bosev Acholav. We do not eat, we are forbidden to eat milk and meat, which is cooked together. In our Torah, it's only milk and meat which has been cooked together. Now, this is certainly something that we cannot say because it's contrary to the nature of man, or it's something which he rejects, so it's despicable. The fact is, the Gemara says explicitly not like that. The Gemara says, Bosev Acholav Chidushu. The Gemara in Perek Kol HaBosev, in Masechet Chulin, it says, Chidushu, the Kol Chad V'Chad Bifnei Atzmai Shori. It's a chidush, it's totally contrary to the rationale. Because both of these by themselves, one is allowed to eat. So now if you put them together, why should they be forbidden? This is what the Gemara says on Bosev Acholav. Chidushu, it's something which is a very unique law of the Torah, which is contrary to human rationale. Another example we have is an animal, a pure animal, a behemoth tahora. If you take a sheep or a goat or a bull, an ox, and he's not checked it properly, which is known as nevela. Now one can ask, what is wrong with that? Has it made the meat into poison? The fact the Gemara says itself, the Chazal which states, what is the difference between shechting properly and shechting not properly? It says that what we are obligated to shecht, to sever the food pipe and the windpipe, and the majority of each. Mora says, what is the difference between half and majority? Kekutasara, the width of a hair. But half will make it into nevela. The majority will make it into a kshera. One is kosher and one is not kosher. Mora says, my ich paslon, what is the difference? What's the difference if you shecht half or you shecht the majority in regards to the animal itself? Kechut asara, the width of a hair, and yet the Torah forbade it. Another such example is we have trefa. A trefa is a behemoth tahora, a basically kosher animal, which you shecht it properly, but you find one of the Yud Ches Trefus, Mishnah Mesechta, in Chulin and Perek Elu Trefus, lists off 18 possible organs of the animal, which, if something is wrong with them, in a certain fashion, it renders the animal trefa. The basic principle is, the Gemara says, is because this is something that ultimately the animal will die from, either in the course of the year or, according to one opinion, he could live longer. But this is not a sick animal. It's not a mesukenes. A sick animal that's ready to die, that the Gemara refers to as a mesukenes. The fact is, an animal which is a mesukenes, which is dying, but is not a trefa, that's kosher. As long as it's healthy. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the meat. But an animal which is a trefa and not a mesukenes, which has something wrong with one of the 18 organs, but is still living a very good life and might carry on living for a year or many years, and the government health departments, in most of those cases, will endorse it as good, healthy meat. Nevertheless, that's a treifa that's prohibited by the Torah. Now, what is the problem there? So there are many questions. We can go further. Let's take the behemoth Timaeus, or the Gogim Timaeus, or the aphis Timaeus, the birds, the fish, and the animals which are not kosher. Torah explicitly told us that these animals are not kosher for us, even if shechted properly, and even if they're not a treifa. Now, we can say, well, this is something that a person should not eat. Like we said, the shrotzim. Not so. Some of these make the best foods in the world. The fact is, not only are they the best foods in the world, but they're alien al shulchan malochim. But on the tables of kings they are brought. For example, you have wonderful birds. Pheasant, which according to most opinions is not kosher, not a kosher bird. Pheasant is a delicacy in the world. You have caviar. Caviar is one of your most expensive. They're such a delicacy that you have your kosher companies in America trying to manufacture and imitate false caviar that'll be kosher. Caviar are eggs that come from dogim tamein, from impure fish that we are not allowed to eat. You have all types of dogim tamein, fish that one is not allowed to eat, which are the finest delicacies in the world. And even chazir, the pig, the swine, people will say, the ham and bacon, and these are ela al shulchan malochim. The fact is, even the Gemara praises it. The Gemara calls this kosle de chazirim. Kosle de chazirim was a pickled side of a pig, which the Gemara says is from the finest delicacies. And yet, we grow very accustomed to say, nah, this is terrible. So there are a lot of questions as to why did the Torah forbid these things. Now, there are some who like to say, well, these things are not physically good for the person. The proof is the Torah forbade them. Physically, they are not good. Are they going to put something into the bloodstream of the person? Or they're going to make him be quite... It could make him, perhaps, ultimately weaken him, or make him sick, or maybe develop in him a very, very bad physical nature, or do something to his nature. This is something which is impossible to accept for many, many reasons. Totally impossible to accept. Because firstly, the chush, the seichel, the rationale of the person, rejects this. Science has not found in thousands of years anything wrong with these animals. Secondly, if there was something wrong with these animals, so then why did the Torah forbid them to the Jew and not to the non-Jew? The non-Jew also has to watch his health and guard his life. The fact is, in Parshas Noach, there it states where you shall not spill blood. The non-Jew is also commanded that he's not allowed to take his own life. So if these things were poisonous to the human being, or ultimately would cause disease or something else like that to the human being, so why did the Torah only asser it to the Jew itself? The fact is, we have another section of forbidden foods, which is not this section at all. But the Gemara says it's a kanto. It's osur because of danger. That's poisonous foods. But that's not this section. We can ask another question also. We have many places that we find that these that we mentioned, the Torah makes exceptions and permits them. There are times that we didn't need shechita. For example, the Gemara says that if you take a bird, you must shecht it with a knife. If you don't shecht it with with a knife, but if you shecht it with your fingernail, then it's an avela. It's forbidden. And it has to be shechted from the front of the neck, not from the back of the neck. If you shecht it from the back of the neck, again, it's nevela. Yet in the Migdosh, in the Beis HaMigdosh, in the sanctuary, when the Kahanim would shecht the birds, the halacha was just the opposite. If they did it with a knife and from the front of the bird, it would render it possible, be invalid. They had to use their fingernail and puncture these two shimonim, the air pipe and the food pipe, from the back of the neck. And this was known as melika. And the kohen and the chatasa eif would eat the meat. So here we see the same physical act done to the same bird, but if it was done outside of the Beis HaMikdosh, it would be nevela. In other words, what we would say, treif gomor. If it's done inside the Beis HaMikdosh in that manner, then the kohen, it would be possible and valid. The kohen were not allowed to eat it. If it was done through melika, if it was done through the normal manner, then it would not be kosher. Another example, the Gemara brings in Masech Tachuli that when Klal Yisrael were in the desert, they did not have to shecht. One opinion in the Gemara, they did not have to shecht, but they could eat basar tava, regular meat, they could eat without shechita, just with mechira. That means is all they had to do was kill the animal by cutting it, but they could eat it without shechita. So there we have another example. Another case, the Gemara brings in Masech Tehillim Daf Yud Zayin, that when the soldiers would come in to conquer Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he would give us Botim Meleim Kol Tuv. Botim Shele Bonisa Meleim Kol Tuv. He will give us homes, beautiful homes, that were built by the Goyim, the non-Jews. And we would come into those houses, they will be ours. There were beautiful palaces in Eretz Yisrael, because there were the 31 kings that were living there. The Gemara says that there wasn't a king that didn't have a summer home in Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael was the most beautiful land in the world. So beautiful palaces in the States and whatnot. And when the soldiers came in Eretz Yisrael to conquer the land, that became theirs. So the Gemara says not only did the houses become theirs, but botim meleim kol tuv, but houses that were full of all goodness. So Moses says, what were all goodness? Afil kosle de chazirim, even the delicacies of the pickled swines, that also became permissible to be eaten in Tachas Kvishas Oretz when they conquered the land. Now here we see that what we consider chazir, the epitome of something which a Jew shouldn't eat, that became permissible. Another example, the Gemara says that a kotan, someone who's a minor, a girl under 12, a boy under 13, is not mitzvah be mitzvahs, not liable for mitzvahs. Therefore, they can do what they want, as long as they're not hurting anyone else, not stealing. They don't have to keep mitzvahs. The Gemara says, we are not allowed to feed them something which is forbidden. But what happens if they take something which is forbidden? They take something which is treif, and they eat it. What is our obligation? So the Gemara says, "Oviv chayv lechanchay, oviv chayv lafrishay." Father has to stop him, because the father has to educate him and train him in mitzvahs. That's midrabonim. To teach a child Torah, to learn Torah, that's an obligation min haTorah on the father. But to train them in mitzvahs, and he's not obligated in mitzvahs, that's the chachomim, that is a mitzvah derabonim. That once a child is old enough to understand, we have to train him in mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, if a child is eating something which is not kosher, the father must stop him. But what about others? Are others obligated? Because others are not obligated in the chinuch mitzvahs to train other children in mitzvahs. So there's opinion in the Gemara in Masechet Yevamos. Actually, it's the most prevalent opinion. But it's the opinion in the Masechet Yevamos. Oviv chayv lafrisho, aval ein bezdin mitzuvim lafrisho. Father has to stop them. But the bezdin or other people are not obligated. Now, if we're speaking about here something that is going to harm, that is harmful, physically harmful, and is going to cause, heaven forbid, sickness to a person, or cause him a bad nature or something, so for sure we should stop him. And so is then, you can ask many questions. We have in Masechta Chulin and in Shulchan Aruch Yodea, we have all types of laws in which the something which is not kosher, but because of certain particular being in certain particular situations, they become kosher. For example, if you have, Mordechai says, if you find a piece of meat and it's in a neighborhood where there are both kosher shops and non-kosher shops, and it came from one of the shops and you don't know which one, Mordechai says you go after the rav. If the majority are kosher, you go after the kosher shops and you're permitted to eat it. Or, for example, the Gemara says if you have meat that gets mixed up, kosher with non-kosher, under many circumstances, if the majority was kosher, you would be allowed to eat it. Or, lach b'lach, if you have some non-kosher meat all in a pot of kosher soup and it becomes cooked into it, well, you cannot see now where the non-kosher meat is. Rimona says if there's 60 times the amount of kosher against the non-kosher, you're allowed to eat it, even though the Gemara says in all the commentaries there's no doubt you're eating the non-kosher also, because it hasn't disappeared, it's in the pot. Nevertheless, one is allowed to eat the entire business. So there are many such halachas like that. Or, for example, the Gemara says that if you have a tam, if you have some small particles of a non-kosher item falls into a pot, and you don't have 60 times against it, but the taste that it's going to interject into the kosher is not a good taste and is not improving the kosher at all, also according to the Torah it's permissible. So there are many, many halachas in which non-kosher becomes kosher, it becomes permissible. If we were dealing with things that are physically not good, or physically poisonous, or physically dangerous to the person, we would never act in such a way. So what is the explanation to this? The answer to this is, these halachas that we have mentioned, the many facets, are what is known not as Mishpotim, but as Chukim. The Chazal, the sages tell us. Mishpotim are mitzvahs which there is a human rationale to. And the sign of it is, the Chazal say, is that we, moral people and decent people, would have enacted such mitzvahs, even had the Torah not commanded them. That's what a mishpot is. For example, the Gemara says, Ki barav eim, to honor one's parents. That's something that moral and civilized people do, had even Hashem not commanded. The proof of the pudding is it's a mitzvah that's very, very prevalent by the non-Jew, even though he's not commanded on it. Chukim are the type of mitzvahs that had the Torah not give them, then in 1,000 years we would have never enacted them. Because they're beyond the human rationale. Now, in 1,000 years we would have never been able to write Parsha Shmini or any other Parsha that deals with what is kosher and what is not kosher. Except maybe if we're talking about such things that it states Nafshi Shel Adam Kotzer Behem, the Shkotzim Aramoshim, such things that are so abominable to the natural makeup of the person. But in 1,000 years we would have never been able to invent Shchita with all of its halachas, or Treifas with all of its halachas, or Bosa v'cholof, milk and meat, or of all of the animals, which ones to say is kosher, which ones not, of all of the wild animals, of all of the fish, of all of the birds, and so forth. And this Rashi brings out in Parshas Todos, Chovav, Perechovav, Posuk He. There, the Torah, Hashem is praising Avraham. And this is why he's giving brachas to Yitzchak. And he says, Ekev asher shom Avraham bekeili. Avraham listened to my voice. Vayishmo mishmarti. And he guarded all of my laws. Mitzvesai, chukosai, vesorasai. Even my chukim. Even the mishpotim. So Rashi says, Mitzvesai, these are the mishpotim. Dvorim shilalei nichtavu, ruin hein litztabes. Even if the Torah didn't give them, they would be very, very acceptable to people to enact them themselves. For example, gezel, one should not steal. Shvichas domim, one should not kill. Chukosai, chukim, what are those? Dvorim shiyetzohora v'umas ha'elam meshivin aleihem. Things that the yetzohora and the umas, the nations of the world, come and they bother Klal Yisrael. Why are you doing these things? Because there is no reason, no human rationale whatsoever to it. Kigain, and Rashi says, Achilas Chazir. For example, the eating of the Chazir. Or Levisha Shatnas. Or the wearing of Shatnas. Shein Tambedov. There's no reason to it that we can penetrate with our own minds. Elegzeres HaMelechu. These are decrees from Hashem. The Chukesav Al Avodov. And these are his chukim, his statutes. Chukim, the word chok actually means chokak, to hew into stone. Because these were like stone statutes. See, something that we understand, we can fashion. We can say, well, since the reason is such and such, so in this case it should apply, in this case it shouldn't apply. But chukim, something which is hewed into stone, you cannot change. These are like they are hewed into stone because we cannot say, well, it should apply here and it shouldn't apply there, when we don't even know what the reasons behind it to begin with. That's why we have to have all of the laws Misinai on this, where they apply and where they don't apply. Now notice Rashi says, Achilas Chazir, Umayse Elam, the nations of the world, come and they attack us at it. Why are we doing this? And he says, there's no tamid of it, there's no reason. What do you mean there's no reason? We could say, simply, pig is not healthy. That's why Jewish people are so healthy, because they don't eat pig. And that's why they have such a good nature. So what do you mean we can't answer them? The answer is this is hevel. This is not the truth at all. This is a chayk. And had the Torah not given it, then we would have never been able to invent these things on our own. Just like Shabbos. What are you going to answer the Umas Eilam, the nations of the world, when they tell you that, when they ask, why can't you sew linen and wool together and wear it? We have nothing to answer on that, outside of the fact that this is what our king has decreed upon us. So that's what Rashi says. Hukim, kigen achilas chazir, like the eating of pig, or levisha shabbos, or the wearing of linen and wool together. Shein dam b'dover. There's no reason in it, that we know of. Gzeiras ha-melech v'chukesov. But this is the decree of the king, al avoda van ha-shurbetz. Even if we could possibly give reasons to it, but that is not the reason why the Torah forbade it. See, if we could find maybe that there are some weak spots in these foods, but that's not why the Torah forbade it. And this is backed up by what the Chazal tell us in all of these sources that we brought. And actually the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us something very interesting. This is a Gemara that my son Reb David brought to my attention when I was once saying this year. The Gemara says, and Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis, Gemara says, the Amud of Yitzchok. The Yitzchok said, "Bivneimal leinis galu tamei Torah." Why did not the Torah give us the reasons for all of the mitzvahs? Many mitzvahs, like mentioned, we can understand. There's a very, very good rationale behind it. Even then, we cannot understand the entire fullness of the reasons, but there's a great deal we can understand of it. But on many, the Torah didn't give reasons, and we cannot understand them. Why didn't the Torah tell us the reasons of all of the mitzvahs? So it states, because Shahare Shtemi Kroos Nisgalu Taimon Nikshal Behen Godla Elom. In two places, the Torah revealed the reasons, and a great one of the world greats, became tripped up into it. Who was that? Shlema Melech, King Solomon. States in Mitzvahs HaMelech, the king was given special mitzvahs beyond all of the mitzvahs of the Torah. It says, "Layaber leinoshim pen yosu levovay." The king should not take too many wives, lest the wives will turn his heart away from the Torah. The king, the Torah was very worried about the king's heart. The Rambam writes why. Why was the Torah worried about the king's heart more than anybody else's heart? Because HaMelech Libei Shel Ha'am. Because the king is the heart of the nation. If his heart is turned away, if an individual's heart is turned away, a private citizen, it only affects him. But if the king's heart is turned away, then he turns the whole nation away from Hashem. So therefore he was very concerned about the heart of the king. So therefore he says, Le'yaber le'noshim, do not, he should not take too many wives, lest they will turn his heart away. Oma Shlema and the Arbe v'le'osur. Shlema Melech said, King Solomon, he says, if that's the reason of the mitzvah, I don't have to worry about it. Because I will take many wives, and I know I will not turn my heart away from the Torah. Uksiva hi le'zikna Shlemov, Shlema noshav hitu es levovay. And it's written that when Shlomo HaMelech was getting old, his wives turned his heart away from Hashem and the Torah. Now, had the Torah not written the reason, then Shlomo HaMelech would never have come to that conclusion. So it would have been better had the Torah not written the reason. Then another case, it says, Le'yaber le'shusim, it says on the king that he should not gather together, collect too many horses. Why? Because pen oshiv esa'am mitzrayimo, lest he will return the nation to Egypt, because Egypt was the capital of the best horses. Shlomo HaMelech said, if this is the reason, ani arbe v'le oshiv, I will gather many, many horses, and I will not return the nation to Egypt. And later it's written, Vatetzi Mekovel Mimitzrayim. He went and he went back to Egypt. So this is why the Torah concealed the mitzvahs, many of the reasons of the mitzvahs. Not only it didn't tell us, but the Dafke, it kept it concealed from us. The Dafke. Lest a mikshel, a stumbling block, will come from that. Now Rashi writes here again. Rashi says, again, Rashi takes these two examples. Why didn't the Torah write the reason why it forbade shatness and the eating of chazir? So we see, not only did the Torah not give us the reason for the eating of chazir and these things, but it specifically concealed the reason that we shouldn't know it. So how can we come along now and give superficial reasons for it? Well, not only the Torah did not give the reason, and it's a chok, but it purposely concealed the reason. Now, it's very important. There's a very important reason to understand if something is a chok or something is a mishpat. What is the difference? I mean, either way, it's a mitzvah. So what's the difference if it's a mishpat or if it's a chok? The difference is this. When we come to fulfill a mitzvah, the first and only motivation that there should be for fulfillment of a mitzvah, this is the first and only motivation, is because it's a mitzvah Hashem. Mitzvah means a command. And you fulfill it because he is the king, we are the servants, and the king is commanded. Because it's mitzvah Hashem. That's how one has to fulfill a mitzvah. It's true, the Gemara says, Leilam, a person should be Makai mitzvahs afilu shalei lishma, because we take shalei lishma bo lishma. Sometimes we need other motivations because we're not in the level of doing so. A little child, you have to tell them, look, you'll do this mitzvah and I'll give you something nice for it. And so forth and so on. Sometimes we have to use other things to answer our yetzer hara. But these are all additives. They're additives in order to get us to fulfill the mitzvah. But the pure fulfillment of mitzvah, the way, what we have to strive for, what we have to reach for, is because they are mitzvahs Hashem. And this is why the Chachomim were mesakein birchas ha-mitzvahs. Why did they say that we must make a brocha before we do a mitzvah? In order to align us in the right direction. Otherwise a person can be thinking he's doing mitzvahs for other reasons. He's eating matzah because he loves matzah, right? On Pesach, where there's a mitzvah, and so forth. So therefore, the Chachomim said, when it comes to a mitzvah, you must first make a bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. You recognize who the master of the world is, and you say, Asher Kidshonu B'mitzvah, you have sanctified us with mitzvahs, V'tzivonu, and you have commanded us to do this mitzvah. You don't take a lulav and an esrog because it's so beautiful. You're taking a lulav and an esrog because you have commanded me to take this lulav and esrog. The fact is, if you do mitzvahs for other reasons, there are great questions in the Gemara if you ever fulfill the mitzvah. This is kimisasik bi'alma, because you have other motivations. So there are great questions in the Gemara. First, people do mitzvahs for other reasons if they have even fulfilled mitzvahs, the mitzvahs, many times, so whole discussions in the Gemara, and many times they have not. So this is the paramount reason why one has to do mitzvahs. The fact is, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim, he says that a goy, a non-Jew, that fulfills his Zayin mitzvahs, the seven mitzvahs given to him, he's mechassid u'mesaylam. He's from the righteous of the nations of the world, he has a portion in the world to come. But that's only if he fulfills them because the mitzvah is Hashem. This is what the Rambam writes. Only if he fulfills them because he understands the mitzvah is Hashem, and that's why he's doing it. Aval im, if he fulfills them, mechochmosim, if he fulfills them because he's a thinker, he's a philosopher, and he says, these are very, very beautiful things that one should do. And one can become a very refined person from this. And he could perfect himself, and these are all very pure motives. And therefore, I'll do it, the Rambam says, Ein zu mechasidu umaseilam. Ve'ein lechelek leilamab. He's not from the righteous of the world to come, and he doesn't have a portion in the world to come. He's not from the righteous of this world, and he does not have a portion in the world to come. Because mitzvah, the whole definition of mitzvah means a tzivoy, a command from the king. That's how we must fulfill them. Now, but if it's a mishpat, in other words, something that we can understand the rationale of, then we have a further obligation. And that is to identify. Through the mitzvah, we can identify with the mitzvah. We can identify with the king. And to emulate his ways, and also to distance that which he hates, that we shall also hate. For example, he gives us mitzvahs that one should not steal, that one should not cheat, that one should be just. We have to do the mitzvahs not because of the moral grounds. We have to do the mitzvah because he has commanded us. But at the same time, we have an obligation, the Torah tells us, to understand his ways and to love his ways. We see, and that's why the Novi, the prophet, and the Torah is full, where it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he loves justice. He hates sheker. Sheker sonesi. He says he hates lies. He hates cheating. And this is in the general mitzvah of Achrei Hashem Elokeichem Teilechu, that you shall walk in his ways. Or, for example, he commands us with the mitzvah of Chesed, or Tzedakah, or Yashrus, or Rachamim, compassion. So we have to be that way, first and foremost, because he commanded us to do so. But then we have to go further and learn from that. Kodesh Baruch Hu loves compassion. Then I must also develop in myself a love for compassion. He loves justice, so I must also develop in myself a nature of justice. He loves tzedakah, chesed, kindliness, then I must also. He hates achzorias, he hates cruelty. Kodesh Baruch Hu says he hates daltorian, he hates balei loshon hara. So therefore, I must also develop in myself a hatred for this. And that's why in the Nevi'im and Dovid HaMelech consistently he writes what he loved and what he hated. This he learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is by Mishpatim. But when it comes to the Chukim, this we can't do. What are we going to say? We're going to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I shouldn't eat these animals. So what am I going to say? That I shouldn't eat these animals and I should learn to hate these animals because HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates them. Where do we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates them, and where do we see I should learn to hate them? Or I shouldn't eat basar v'chalav, milk and meat, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates milk and meat. Or I shouldn't eat milk and meat because they're dangerous for me. If you do that, it's a question even if you're fulfilling the mitzvah. You got to do it because he commanded you. But even to go further and say, well, he hates milk and meat, therefore I should hate it. How do you know? How do you know that's the reason? That's the same as saying that you shouldn't wear shatnish, you shouldn't wear wool and linen, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates it. That's not, and there is not the mitzvah of Halachta Midrochav. So that when it comes to the chukim, there we have to fulfill them, because Kach Gozer HaMelech. The king has decreed that we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't wear this, we shouldn't eat this. Why? I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know. Not only the Torah didn't tell me, but in many cases the Torah specifically concealed it from me. I have to learn. I have to try to understand as much as I can. But the safe door is Tomim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. I placed my trust in Hashem. He told me that I shouldn't do it. He knows what he's doing. The Kach Tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what he's commanded. So good. Bosim v'cholav, milk and meat could be the most wonderful thing in the world. Bacon and eggs and caviar and crabs or whatever you want. Most wonderful thing in the world. No, it's not so funny. This is the Feirish explicit in Teirish Kahamim, which I'll bring in a minute. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. Except Ma'asa, what can I do? I, being a Jew, he gave us mitzvahs. And in his mitzvahs he said that we're not allowed to eat it. So there's a great difference in order to understand what is a mishpat and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, we should honor our father and mother. So there we have to try to understand in the fullness. Why was he so severe on us, place so many obligations on how we should honor our father and mother? And there's a great deal we can understand, and from there we can learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, and we develop a whole character in ourselves. But we're not going to be able to do that when it comes to the chukim. Now, I mentioned, this is explicit in the Torah's Kahanim. Explicit, the Torah's Kahanim states, and this is at the end of Parshas Kedoshim, and Rashi brings it at the end of Parshas Kedoshim. If you look at the end of Parshas Kedoshim, Rashi brings it. And the Maral elaborates on this in Tferes Yisrael Perches. At the end of Parshas Kedoshim, Rashi brings on the Posuk Chavov, V'yisem li Kedoshim ki Kodesh ani Hashem. You shall be sanctified because I am sanctified. I have separated you from the nations in order that you shall be for me. So Rashi says in the second line, the Blezer ben Ezra Azariah Emer, Minayin shelei emar odom, nafshi kotzo bipsar chazir, nafshi efshi levoish klai. How do we know that a person should not say that I cannot stand pig? I cannot stand wearing klein. Aval yeme, but what he should say, efshi, that pig is wonderful to eat. Klein is wonderful to wear. Uma ese, but what can I do? The avi sheshemayim gozer alo. My father in heaven decreed that I must not do it. He says, how do I know that that's the right direction? Tamud leimar, va avdel eschem mino amim liyoisli, I have separated you, I have given you the mitzvahs for me, that you shall be for me. When you do mitzvahs, you must do the mitzvahs for me, not for yourself. If a person says, I can't stand chazer, then he's not even chazer because of himself. If he says, I cannot stand these animals, I cannot stand bosel v'cholov. If he says, I cannot stand Kentucky Fried Chicken or McDonald's hamburgers, then he's not eating it because of himself, because he can't stand it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that's not why I gave you mitzvahs. I gave you mitzvahs for my sake. Lishmi, you must do the mitzvahs for my sake, not for your sake. This is what the Torah Kanim said. Aval Yemar Efshi, a person must say, what's wrong with McDonald's hamburger? Yeah, it's junk food. That's a different story. But if it was made good, what's wrong with it? And what's wrong with Kentucky Fried Chicken? And what's wrong with caviar or bacon? These are delicacies, or pheasant. These are delicacies that adorn the tables of kings. What's wrong with it? There's nothing wrong with it.
Avol ma'aser, but I can't eat it. Why? Not because I don't want to eat it, not because I don't like it. Avish Shemaim gozar alo. Because my Father in heaven said I'm not allowed to eat it. He gave me the mitzvah not to eat it. And he didn't tell me any reason to. When you abstain from an avera, he says do it for my sake, not for your sake. Then you have accepted the yoke of heaven. That is what is considered the yoke of heaven, when a servant serves his master, not because it's what he wants to do. The fact is, he would just as soon do the contrary, but it's because the master wants to do it. The Maral in the Tverish Yisrael, in Perches, he elaborates on this. And he says, he brings a medrash from Babidma Rabba, Parsha Yutes. This was by the Porah Aduma. He says, "Shol goyachod es Rabbi Yechman Zakai." One time, a non-Jew came to Rabbi Yechman Zakai, and he saw what was done with the Porah Aduma, the red heifer. They looked for a heifer that was pure red, very, very difficult to find. Very difficult to find. If he had two hairs that were not red, he was disqualified. And when they finally found this prize animal, then they would check it. Then they would burn it. And then they would take the ashes. And then they would take some spring water. And they would mix it. And they would make a solution. And then someone who was Tom and Mace became impure from contact with a dead person, they would spray it on him. And he would become taut. So a non-Jew once saw this. So he came to Rabbi Yechman Zakai, and he says, "If you ask me, what you're doing looks like shopping. It looks like sorcery. You bring the potter and you burn it, and you grind it up, and you take its ashes, and then you take someone that's tomei, and then you pour it on him two or three times, and then you say he's tohor, he's pure." So Rabbi Yechman Zakai answered him. He said, "Tell me," he says, "amongst your people, did you ever have someone that a bad spirit entered into?" He says, "Yes." He says, "What did you do?" He says, "We would bring different herbs and different roots and different plants that we know about, specific ones that we know about, and we would grind them up and we would burn them, and then we would let them make a lot of smoke, and we would put water on it, and we would put it next to this person, and this would drive the spirits away." So he says, "Listen to what your ears are saying." He says, "This is what we're doing." He says, "There's a bad spirit that entered into the person, and we, in this way, we are driving it away." And then the non-Jew left. So the Talmidim came to Rabbi Yechman Zakai, and they told him, "Omru le Talmido lezed dochise bekoma lo namata." He says, "That uneducated non-Jew, that you can get him off your back with a fairy tale, but what are you going to tell us?" So this is what the Talmidim told Rabbi Yechman Zakai. So he said, "You're right." He says, "I only told him that to get rid of him." So he was happy with the explanation. But if you want to know the truth, he says, "Le hames mitame velo hamayi mitahari." He says, "It's not the dead person that causes the tumor, and it's not the water of the Porah Aduma that causes the tahara, the purity. Eloma Kodesh Baruch Hu chuka chochakti." Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "I have hewn into the stones my chukim, my statutes. Gzeiro gozalti. I have made my decrees. Iatora shai lava gzeirosi. You are not allowed to break my decrees," as it states, "Zos chukas haTorah." By the Porah Aduma, it says, "This is my chukah." But what did he tell him? He says, "Do not think that it's the when you take a herb, a plant, and it does something good for the human body, Actually, your majority of medicines come from plants and herbs. Great medicines, miracle medicines, quinine, comes from a plant in the jungle. In fact, there's scientists that are very, very upset that they're burning down so many parts of the rainforests in South America because they said we haven't even had a chance to examine all of those things. When you take something that is good for the body, that means there's a physical element in that plant that can do some physical good for the body. And the same thing to the contrary. When you take a plant that's poisonous for the body, that means there's a physical element in that plant that can do something physical for the body. If, like certain nations might think, that if you take, if a person has a mishigas, goes crazy or something, and they take a plant and they can drive it out. So they're also communicating at a type of physical or emotional level. Torah is not that. The Chazal tell us, Torah is not a sefer refuah. It's not a book of cures. All of that we mentioned about the plants and the herbs and so forth, that's in the category of refuah, physical sciences, emotional sciences, psychological sciences, psychiatric sciences. That all has to do at the physical plane, the primitive physical plane, or the sophisticated primitive physical plane. But this is the physical plane. And the Chazal say, Chas v'sholom chalila, to make a sefer refuah, a book of cures, out of the Torah. Because these are components which are found in these plants from this world. And therefore, they can counter, they can interact one way or the other with the other physical components which are found in this world. Torah is not from this world. Torah is coming from the Olam HaElyon, another world totally. Torah does not interact with a person on a physical plane. It interacts with a person not on a gashmi, but bilti gashmi, the spiritual plane. The spiritual plane is way beyond this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a wealth of physical elements to interact with the person physically. That's the whole area of science, the study of the physical universe. But Torah is not the study of the physical universe. Torah is beyond the physical universe and before the physical, 26 generations before the physical universe. Much more than that. It was given 26 generations after the creation of the world. But it goes back to almost 1,000 generations. Actually, it created 1,000 generations before it was given. Torah encompasses the physical universe and the bilti gashmi and the spiritual universe. And the mitzvahs were given in accordance to the spiritual makeup of man. And the nations of the world refused to accept the Torah. And therefore, they left themselves on the level, spiritual level of seven mitzvahs. Klal Yisrael that came to Sinai rose to the spiritual level of 613 mitzvahs. And therefore, when they interact with Torah and mitzvahs, they are interacting at levels far beyond that, far beyond the physical levels. And therefore, what the Maala explains in this perek is that when we try to reduce Torah and mitzvahs, such as these mitzvahs of Chazir and the Hematameyas and so forth, Shechita and so forth, to physical levels, we are dwarfing what Torah is, and that's what Rabbi Yechiel ben Zakkai told the non-Jew, and that's what he told the Talmidim. Non-Jew was satisfied. That's another type of hocus pocus, another type of sorcery, or whatever it might be. But the Talmidim said, no, that's not for us. Because that's what he said. He says, it's the Maestas, it's not the Maestas, the Talmud. It's the gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the mitzvah. But the fact that the Torah saw in its wisdom at the enormous spiritual level what a mace can do to a Jew at that level doesn't affect a non-Jew. And what the Por Aduma can do, he says that's the level that it's working at. Then he brings another Gemara. Yuma daf lametes omer aleph. When he makes some bomb, says that when you eat these things which are not kosher, the shrotzim, when he makes some bomb, you will become tome. Tanet bishmul aveda metamtem libe shalodim shenema al tetamu behem when he makes some bomb al tikra when he makes some ele when he tamtem behem. So the Gemara says, do not read it as nitmesim, that you will cause yourself impurity, but read it as unetamtem bohem. Netamtem bohem means that you will cause yourself to become all, what would be the English word? All what? All blocked up, clogged up. As it states, it's metamtem libu shalodim, that it blocks up the heart and the mind of the person. Now, unfortunately, it's rogel b'fi odom, that it's very common to hear from people that the shkotzim, the remoshim, the macholos asuris, forbidden foods, is metamtem es alev, blocks up the heart of a person, blocks up the mind of a person, the soul of a person. The Maral says it doesn't say that to the Gemara. The Gemara says aveira metamtem eso odom. Didn't say the food. It says the aveira, the transgression. It's where the Torah forbade it. That's where it causes timtum alev. And again, because of its spiritual interaction with the person, in both the action and the interaction, and the consequences are all at the spiritual level. But where there is no aveira, then it's not metamtem es alev. This answers for us all the questions we asked. We said that if there is something basically wrong with these foods, so how do we find so many times exceptions to it? The midbar in the desert, they didn't eat shechita. When they came into the houses of Eretz Yisrael, they could eat even the pickled sides of the chazerim of the pig. Because all of this is dependent on the aveira of where the Torah prohibited it. Where the Torah prohibited it, then it's going to have a spiritual effect on a person. Spiritual, not physical. Where the Torah did not prohibit it, then it cannot have a spiritual effect on the person. That's why where the halacha says it's also, it's forbidden. Where the halacha says it's mutar, it becomes permitted. Not only that, someone who would say it's forbidden, this is what is known, either he's kafir, he either denies Teres Moshe, but if he's a Talmud Chochem and a Rav, this is what the Gemara calls Megaleponim Shleika Halocha, he falsifies the Torah. That's why you will find when you learn Mishneh Gemara Shulchan Aruch, the Peskim are razor edged. That where it's forbidden, it's forbidden. Where it's permitted, it's permitted. And the difference is a sword's edge. This is the whole Mesech, the Chulin Yoredeh, or Cheshon Mishmor, whatever it might be. Because we are not interested in anything else outside of the mitzvahs Hashem. And that's where he prohibited it, or where he permitted it. When it comes to sakon of danger, there we have to evaluate the physical makeup of the food. So it's a different story. This is what the Maral explains here. Incidentally, the Rambam was an extreme in this. In a number of places, the Rambam would go almost on a holy war, on a Milchamas Hashem, to the point where he got himself into many, many disputes with even other Rishonim and Peskim, when he saw that Torah was being reduced to a Sefer Refuos, a book of medicines, or to our level, a book of psychology. Even though to reduce Torah to psychology is a blasphemy, because psychology is a physical science, it's not the spiritual level of the Torah. And it's interesting because the Rambam was from a very, very great doctor. He was a very great doctor. And in a number of places he writes that. One place where he writes it is in Hilchos Avedis Kachovim, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Beis. He says, Aleche Shalamaka Vekeir Posuk Minateir Vechein Akeir Latinuk Shaleivas. He says, if someone gets an injury, and now they open up a chumash and they start saying psukim, because they were told that these psukim will help to cure the injury. Or, for example, you have a child, and you read psukim to help the child, or the child cannot sleep. Child has insomnia. So they said, if you put a sefer Torah or you put a siddur in his carriage, he will sleep better. Leidai shehem bechlau menachshim bechevrim. He says it's not enough that they are bechlau menachshim bechevrim. That means darkei ameri, sorcerers. And this has to do with Avedah Zorah. Eleshem bechlau akevrim betorah. He says it's blasphemy. He says they are denying Teres Hashem. Shein esim divrei Teres refuas haguf, because they are reducing divrei Teres to medicine, to safer, to books of medical treatments. And the Torah was given for our souls, not for our bodies. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave physical sciences for our bodies. It's for the nefesh, it's for the soul of the person. But he says, if you say tilim, because then you fulfill a mitzvah. You're saying tilim because you're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's a mitzvah. And the schus of the mitzvah should be a schus for you, to save you from tzoros, that's allowed. But to, if someone will tell you that you say this posuk, and this posuk will be able to cure that, and so forth, he says that's blasphemy. And this, there were some rishonim that wanted to make a few differences, but this was the Rambam's opinion. He was a great radical when it came to this. Another place he writes it is in Hilchos Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzos, in Perek Dalet. Perek Hei, Halacha Dalet. He says, Minik Poshut Shekes Fin Ala Mezuzah Mivachutz Keneger Arevach Shebein Pasha LePasha Du Shem Shin Dalet Yud Vein Bezeh Hefzit Levishu Babachutz. He says, in the mezuzah, if you look on the back of the mezuzah, we write Shin Dalet Yud on the back of the mezuzah, on the back of the parchment. He says, that's all right, because you're not writing it in the mezuzah. You're writing it on the back of the mezuzah. But some write in the mezuzah names of certain angels, or Shemes Kedoshim, or names of Hashem, or Posuk, or a sentence of the Torah. He says, Arein bechlal mishen enam chelak la'olam habo. He says, those people that do it, he says, they lose their world to come. Why? She'elu atipshim. He says, because these fools, le'day lehem shebitlo ha-mitzvah. Not only are they mavatal the mitzvah, ela she'osa mitzvah gedele she'yichur Hashem shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu va'avosa va'avodosoi. But they're taking such a great mitzvah, which is the mitzvah that one should always remind himself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one, and to love Hashem and to serve Hashem, kilu hu kemiyah shel hanos atzman, as if it's some charm. He puts up a mezuzah as a charm that will protect himself. See, this is what we had to do. We were speaking before. The person has to do a mitzvah because kach tziva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it. If there's a fringe benefits to it, wonderful. But you have to do it because Hashem commanded it. Here, these people, he says, are doing all of these things because they will give him panosa, it will give him shalom, it will give him protection. So he says, why is it different than a charm? Someone sells you a charm and tells you, if you wear it all the time, you'll have panosa. He says, this is what they're taking from, they're making Torah. He says, like other fools do in when it comes to worldly things. Now, the other Rishonim come because it's even Aramaic that we have certain letters printed at the, in the mezuzah. See? So they try to make certain chilukim and so forth and so on. But everybody agrees to the basic principle. To the basic principle. It's just the Rambam carried it to a great extreme. And that was his approach, which basically everybody agreed to, though. It was just if we could perhaps be a little flexible in certain areas. So this is what we learn from here. We cannot reduce mitzvahs into what we think they are. If they're mishpotim, where the tam is evident, like Rashi brings, the Chazal bring, that even if the Torah would not have given us these mishpotim, decent people and civilized people would have written such laws, because they're upright laws, they are just, compassion and so forth, then we have to develop, we have to do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's commanded, but we have to learn from there what he hates, what he loves and what he hates, and emulate him, like it states, Acharei Hashem Elokechem Telechu, that you should follow in his footsteps. But when it comes to the chukim, there, it's a hands-off. Like the Torah's Kanim says, I can't say HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates it, therefore I hate it. One should not say that I do not wear shatnez and I'm not going to eat these foods because I hate them. Because then you're doing it for yourself. And you don't even know why Hashem asked it, forbade it. No, there you have to say that as far as I know, there's nothing wrong with these things. And if the Torah hadn't forbade them, I would enjoy them like anything else. But my efshibahem, I do want them. But my asa, what can I do? This is what our Father in Heaven decreed. And therefore, when you do it lishmi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I gave you the mitzvah that you should do them for my sake, not for your sake. A mitzvah has to be done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a great principle that we can learn from these mitzvahs.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.